During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Let's save baseball. We're in a rain delay. We're in a rain delay during the MLB playoffs. Let's save baseball. Here's what I want to save baseball. Everybody does crack.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Perfect! We've saved Major League Baseball! The kids are into it again!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Baseball is still not taking that suggestion, despite many strongly worded letters. Although now they want to have a fantasy draft of playoff teams. We might talk about that at some point with Alec Lewis of The Athletic, who is here in studio with us right now. Hello, Alec.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This is, I've never been in here.
Yeah.
I have never been. This music's good, though, because segue, but I've had this Justin Timberlake Meek Mill song in my head, stuck in my head. And I've been, like, all week, it's like, I got to get this out for spring training, because if I'm whistling this around, like, the clubhouse, I'm definitely going to get made fun of. So, thank you.
So, are you, like, a big Meek Mill fan?
No.
Okay.
No. This is just a new song. I like every kind of music, but it's a new song. I've been listening.
I've heard this song. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, though, sitting here across from Alec. I think it's mostly the glasses, but then also a little bit of the baseball, and then some of the energy in general. Sean Collins is, like, a huge Meek Mill fan, and there's, like, a little Alec has a little Sean energy. I don't know if anyone other than Beards and Rudy directly even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sean now covers esports in Dallas.
Okay.
He filled in. He did a lot of stuff on ESPN Kansas City, a little bit over here, many moons ago now. But I just wondered if maybe you guys had shared the same exact musical tastes also. But you're not a huge Meek Mill fan. You're an accepting. You have a diverse musical taste.
I have a lot of dreams and nightmares, but no, No, I mean, that was really bad. But no, I mean, I listen to a lot. So no, it's par for the course, I guess you could say.
You can continue to ask Alec about his musical taste on Twitter at Alec_Lewis. And of course, all of his Royals content on The Athletic. Some of the stuff that you've done just in the last, like your last few things I had gone through, because I don't know if you noticed. We were pretty busy for a little bit in there these last couple of weeks.
I've heard. The numbers have also seemed to have heard as well.
It got a little bit busy in the non-baseball realm, but I was catching up on your last few things this morning, and it's all really good. Like, would I lie if Alec was sitting here and I didn't believe that? Of course I would. But I'm not, and I'm asking you to believe that I'm not lying. It's all very good. And it made me... I can't say excited for baseball to be. I'm in a weird spot right now where there's confetti in my hair. I haven't showered since the parade. It's honestly, it smells terrible in here. But I was like, oh yeah, baseball's around the corner, and I care a little bit. It's coming. I can see it out there. You're literally leaving for spring training tomorrow, right?
I fly out tomorrow afternoon to Arizona. I saw it's supposed to snow here on Wednesday.
Love it.
Mm. That's exciting for me. But no, I mean, you know,
bleep you guys.
Were you there? Were you there?
Yes.
It was a little colder last year. Like I spent about a week there.
Rudy will find an opportunity to bitch about the cold in any climate.
100%. It is colder. It was colder last year in Arizona than I expected. And I think this year that trend
it
is continuing.
Atlanta for the Super Bowl last year. It's
cold in Atlanta. I go to warm weather places expecting to be warm. When it's cold, that hurts.
100% though. It is. I looked at the weather. Like I'm like packing today, and I'm going for 2 weeks. Then I think I'm gonna come back for a quick stint, and then go back and finish the whole thing. But I was packing today, and I think last year I went for a week. I literally skipped a week of school. Mm-hmm. I told my professors, this company is trying to hire me to do this thing. I think I should go for a week. My parents are like, Alec, you have an exam. No, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I think I'm going to go for a week and do this.
Yeah.
And so I did it for a week. I remember I go out there with like polos and quarter zips and shorts and jeans. And you can't figure it out. Cause in the morning, like 7 in the morning, you need the quarter zip or the hoodie or whatever.
Yeah.
And then by 2, you need sunscreen. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is going on?
This isn't going to be a problem for us when it's snowing out. No. We'll just be cold all the time. But I feel very bad for you, Alec.
No, yeah.
I'm
no,
really sorry.
It is terrible. But no, hopefully what I can do is continue to use that weather to my advantage and like kind of like Sammy Watkins, use the weather and be able to write some things that
That's
you could either tell me in person or off person that might be okay. That would be good for me.
So far, the cold climate's been working just fine because there are several things up right now. And if you're in the Athletic app or on the website, you can like follow by author and everything. In fact, Alec's link on his Twitter bio right now just goes to his author page. So you can go follow him on Twitter. Just click that link there. It'll take you to everything you may have missed from these last, days, weeks, or months, depending on how long you've been out of baseball mode. I mean, you might have some catching up to do. And it really is a nice little ramp up to spring training hitting. But obviously, like the big things from this offseason, like there's been more turnover than in your average baseball offseason. We were joking before we got back about like has the offseason felt long or short or whatever. There's been a lot happening here. And I know that somebody asked me I don't know, just several weeks ago, but like, oh, so how do you think the new ownership will affect the team this year? And I will sort of deflect that question to you because my hunch is that it's going to be kind of hard to see that in year one. But a managerial change is a daily impactor. So like, how much do you think in both of those ways it's fair to expect things to look different in one way or another with the Royals this year?
You know, I don't think with either of them you're going to see some noticeable wow. Like, I can't believe they're doing it that way. I will say, I think specifically with the owner, it's going to be a lot more gradual than, as you mentioned, Mike Matheny. Like, with Mike Matheny, it's something where you're going to hear his voice every day. You're going to see him on camera. So that type of vibe that he brings, even in a post-game or pre-game press conference, is going to be different in some form or fashion. Someone asked me recently, like, with him at spring training, what's it gonna look like? I mean, it's gonna look like baseball fields with players. Like, no, but I do think, on a serious note, Mike Matheny's a guy. I was telling, I think, my dad this story. Like, I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and that's the benefit of when the Chiefs are going. Like, all the reporters are out doing their – so right. I can kind of have these conversations. We were on a phone call, and he had moved into his new Kansas City house, and he was working in his basement. He's like a very hands-on guy.
That checks out.
That
type of,
yeah. And and you could like almost hear the competitiveness in his voice of like, I'm going to get this basement. It's going to be so that, like, I think if you're going to see one thing or notice some, I think you're going to notice the competitiveness that he brings every single day. He's just a competitive guy.
Yeah.
That's how he was as a player. That's how he is in conversation. So I think if there's going to be anything new in terms of what you're going to see there, I think that's going to be it. Now, it's funny. I'm doing a story for tomorrow, a spring training guide, that will be on The Athletic in the morning.
TheAthletic.com.
And part of one of the sections is what's new. And I was like, well, besides the new owner, the new manager, the new first base coach, the new bullpen coach, the new hitting development coaches, the new third baseman, and a lot of the new bullpen names, nothing.
Nothing's new.
But no, seriously, I mean, there's
the catcher's kind of new, like in a very micro sense.
Rusty's back.
He's a new that. Yeah,
100%. Rusty's back.
The catcher is a new American citizen.
There we go.
Royals are gonna win World Series just because of Rusty. That first base coach, so vital.
Hey, player, I like the way you think. That's Rusty's.
No, I just honestly sometimes I know this has to be disconcerting, and I'm realizing this now in the actual conversation with you, a human being. But sometimes something will be very funny, and my entire goal will be to not make any noise, just so we have a clean recording of the audio, so we can use it for a liner at some point.
No, I appreciate.
So that's what
that.
I did there. So I thought that was so funny that it was worth preserving, but also it meant I didn't laugh at your joke, which makes me a bad teammate, I think.
Sorry. No, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Totally, I'm not like
I'll try to
that.
I'll try to be better.
You can enjoy Wednesday, though. I guarantee you'll enjoy it.
What will I enjoy Wednesday?
The weather.
Damn it. All right, Alec, thanks for coming in. We're going to talk about something else. First of all, you were talking about Matheny in his basement, and I was just immediately imagining him. I have him down there just with saws, just making baseball bats.
I was gonna say train sets.
Train sets?
Yeah.
Just threw that out there. I don't know why.
I see. I pictured him wearing jorts, building something.
I got him in jorts and then like a white tank top, just making baseball bats. Yeah. No eye protection either, because that's for losers.
You don't need eye protection.
Come I didn't on. Ask him like what he was wearing or or really what he's doing. And to be honest, that would have been embarrassing for me, because if he's like, I'm using the hammer. I don't know those types of like.
I can tell by the way he said that.
Yeah, people don't know. Like, people who know me know like that'd be the last thing in the world. But I will say, you mentioned train sets.
What?
There is a royal story that involves a train set that will be coming at some point this year. I can guarantee you it.
Wow.
I'm excited.
So.
There's a lot of ways you can take this.
There are. I don't know what I'm more interested in, if it's you saying, "Hi, Mike, it's Alec Lewis from The Athletic. What are you wearing?" Yeah, no. Or if it's you going, "So, what are you using the hammer for?"
Like, that's a hammer's a tool, right?
Yeah. So you doing a hammer and a screwdriver and a what is that? You got a tape measure in there somewhere? How's building going, Mike?
Team building. We'll stick to team building. I
would pay cash money to have the audio file of that conversation that we just laid out. I would pay literal money to just have that on hand.
See if we can get it done. I don't know. He's in Surprise, Arizona. Probably he's competitive.
You got his number. Text him and ask him what he's wearing. Do that for us. Hey, Mike, I'm on the radio right now. Frankly, Mike, it's a show that's a little bit skeptical about the job you're going to do. They want to know what you're wearing.
I'll ask him Wednesday.
That won't be as good, because we'll all be in hoodies and he'll be in board shorts.
Uniform.
I guess that's also probably true.
Yeah.
Silly though. It's silly that we make managers wear uniforms. I know this isn't it. I know I'm not the first person to say this out loud. But why does Mike Matheny need to be in a uniform? Why can't he just have the blue version of Andy Reid's outfit?
It's a good question. You know,
right?
But a lot of them, like Aaron Boone this past year, wore a ton of like Yankees hoodies,
That's true. That with the pants.
Yeah, you're right. The baseball. I mean,
he's not sliding. Mike Matheny's not sliding.
Yeah, but these guys played. Like, they want to feel like they this is who they are. This is, like, who they are as people. So it makes sense. I mean, it's you know what's funny is at the end of last season, actually, the Royals, J.J. Piccolo's an executive, is now a field coordinator. He's an assistant GM, but also as part of his role, he's kind of in the field more. And in October when I was down in Surprise, he's in uniform. He's a front office assistant GM in uniform, putting balls through pitching machine. It was fascinating. But they loved that. I mean, that's these are baseball people. A lot of the Royals people are baseball people, and that's what they love.
Imagine Wade Phillips in shoulder pads.
I'm laughing.
I just don't think this is a one-to-one comparison. I don't think this works. What of the other like changes or of the on-field developments? I read your roster projection today, and we'll talk about that because we've got time to get into all of the things there. When I was like, oh, yeah. Seriously, there are so many things. I went, oh, yeah, that's a thing to talk about. That's a thing that's going on, because it really has been back burner for so long, because frankly, the Royals went back burner at game
one.
They won game one.
They won
game
one. They were 1-0, Rudy.
It wasn't for the bullpen, I think I would have won my bet.
I mean, game 120, I think they were probably back burner, because we're ramping up for a Chiefs season, ultimately in the Super Bowl, and now we're in the second week of February, and we're going, oh yeah, the Royals. So there's a lot of stuff in there, but if I let you pick from that entire buffet of storylines, and maybe specifically because of, you know, the minor league top shelf pitching and all of that, you've written about it a ton recently, and we'll talk about that too. But like, as far as you're landing in Surprise tomorrow, by the way, probably not landing in Surprise, probably landing in Phoenix and driving to Surprise.
Yes.
If you need a place to stay, my grandma and uncle live in Surprise. Short little commute. You can probably hop in their golf cart. If you want to borrow their golf cart, you let me know. I'll call them.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that before.
I'm sorry. I should have gotten that to you before you needed to book a room or whatever.
We'll get dinner one night, maybe.
I don't know how I would feel about that. Probably not good. If you went over there, they might make you dinner.
That works.
That would be good. All right, I'm gonna see if I can get that done. But whenever you land in Phoenix and then drive to Surprise and then hop on a golf cart and then get everywhere because it's a retirement community, what's the like? What's the on field major league team opening day storyline that most interests you?
I think it's going to be who's the fifth starter. I mean, I think that's the easiest answer there in terms of the Royals have four starters pretty locked in. I mean, barring injury, it seems locked in. It's Brad Keller, Jacob Junis, Danny Duffy, Mike Montgomery. Those four are going to start games in 2020 for sure. Who's the fifth guy? That is a question that I think spring training is going to outline starting when they first work out on Wednesday. I think that's what I'm most excited to see. What is Brady Singer, a former first-round pick, going to look like alongside Eric Skoglund, who's been here a long time? What is he going to look like alongside Chance Adams, who the Royals acquired from the Yankees in December? I mean, there's kind of a laundry list of pitchers that could maybe possibly take that spot. I projected in The Athletic Foster Griffin, who's a former first-round pick from the Royals. I believe it was 2014 they selected him, who has kind of just grinded his way through the minor league system. This past year was in AAA, and I think he had a 5.2 ERA, something around there, but it was actually a top 10 ERA for starters in that league because the baseballs were like golf balls. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see. That's that pitching. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what hitters step up, especially of the younger prospects, if their swings look better than they had, if they're more positive than they'd been. But I think from the storyline aspect of this, the fifth starter, who is it going to be? That's going to be number one. And then which of these bullpen guys step up? I mean, that's the other thing. You have, I think it's like 27 relievers of the 67 players in Major League spring training, and they're pretty much vying for eight spots while three or four of them were pretty solid last year. So it will be really interesting to see how that shakes out as well. Those are the two. I mean, pitching, I think, in the spring training is everything.
Foster Griffin, too, only 24 years old still.
That is wild.
Yeah. He was a first-round pick in 14. Last year had a 5.23 ERA, was a all-star in AAA because, as Alex said, it is tennis or it's golf balls there. Yeah. And it just like a 5.2 ERA. I mean, it's going back to like the old school college days where like with the aluminum bats where everybody was like,
might as well
if you had like a 6 ERA, you were the ace and drafted number one overall.
Yeah. The thing with him too, there's a story behind kind of his thing. So midway through last year, he knew like, okay, I have this 5.2 ERA. I don't really know if that's going to pass. I want to make the big leagues. Mm-hmm. That's obviously his dream. So he's like, I might need extra reps. So he goes to the Royals front office and asks them in the middle of the year, like, could you maybe get me a job in the Dominican for after the season? They ended up getting him a job with Lice, which is like the Yankees of the Dominican. He goes down there, I think pitches 23.1 innings, has like a...
That's exactly right.
2.8.
It was 23.1.
Yeah.
According to your
2.8 ERA or something like that. And
2.31.
2.31 ERA.
Get your facts right. Come on, man.
Sorry.
Give the man his credit.
Yeah, I was half right. So he goes down there and he pitches.
How many strikeouts and walks?
Maybe like 31-5 or
31-6. Okay. 31-6.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Sorry. But sorry, I was one off on walk on whatever. No, but seriously, like he wanted to go down there and do that to prove himself. And the Royals, I think, were kind of impressed by that enough, obviously, to protect him ahead of the Rule 5 draft. And I think if you're looking at the most experienced guys who could take that fifth starter spot and you give them an opportunity and see what they can provide, he seems fit. The Royals don't need a fifth starter until April 5th because of the way the calendar shakes out from March 26th opening day until then. So for certain reasons or another, it makes sense to kind of hold off on some of the young starting pitching prospects from 2018.
Yeah.
Just even looking at this, like, he had the 5.23 ERA, but like in Omaha averaged 5.92 runs a game when they were scoring. So, I mean, like, just runs were crazy. I mean, like, he again, compared to what their offense was doing, he was limiting opposing teams about half a run less than, I mean, more than half a run less than what, you know, his own team was doing.
From the rest of the rotation, for Keller, Junis, Duffy, Montgomery, it's funny. I don't disagree with a syllable that you've said, because I think that would at this point put me in the wrong spot. But to say this team has four starters like set in stone sounds like a very good thing. Like, to say that these are clearly this team's four best starters, and this is to have a rotation this defined at this point in a preseason, essentially, before spring training actually begins, feels like a very good sign. And for the Royals, I have individual questions about every single one of those guys. Like, big questions. Are they in the right slots? I think we know the answer to that. But how good can each of these guys be? How many questions exist for each of them? Is it even passable to have this as your 1, 2, 3, and 4? What if this was your 2, 3, 4, and 5? Whenever you look at the rotation from outside that competition for the fifth spot and still outside of all of the young guys that you know, the Royals know they need a couple of them to hit in a big way. And also, right now, looks pretty good, to be fair. But whenever you look at the guys that you do anticipate starting the first four games of the season and carrying the load through that early April date, how do you feel and how do you think the Royals feel about that group and their expectation for them both day one and then also by the end of the season?
It's a really, really good point because it's funny. Like, we do write. I mean, I wrote, like, these are locked in as four starters. But it's like, is that what we should hope for? And I think the biggest problem right now is the depth at starting pitching. Like, would Brad Keller be your total wholehearted number one if you had a guy that might could compete? So I think it's interesting. If you break them down individually, look, like, I think Brad Keller has shown a lot in his first pretty much 2 years starting. Mm-hmm. He was a Rule 5 pick, came with really not mm-hmm. many expectations, and he's impressed. Last year, the Royals shut him down at the end of the year because of his innings limit. So at some point, it kind of got to the point where it was like, why should we keep throwing him if he's going to throw too many innings? The issue he faced last year was his command. I mean, he walked a ton of guys mm-hmm. in the middle of the year, and that became a real problem for him. But I think at his peak, I mean, he's from Atlanta. He pitched against the Braves in Atlanta at some point, I believe, in July or August, and threw like 7 1/3, struck out 5, allowed maybe like 5 hits or something, and maybe 1 or 2 runs. Like, he was really good. At his peak stuff, he could be pretty good. Is he a 1? Probably not. He's probably a 2 or 3, realistically. Right. But for the Royals right now, he's a 1. Jacob Junis just needs a changeup. I mean, he struggled a little bit to develop that pitch. His slider is the best on the Royals staff and probably almost within the organization. Danny Duffy was injured to start last year. So he said at FanFest he started throwing a little bit earlier so he doesn't – the word he used was his arm doesn't get cobwebby, which is
– cobwebby is a pretty good word.
I've never – but that's Danny, so it's totally no
surprise. I know exactly what it means.
The other thing with Danny Duffy is he's got a year and a half left on his deal. The Royals – right now, starting pitching is the most valuable thing in baseball. Mm. If he succeeds, then maybe the Royals could use him as an asset. As a starting pitcher, that's something to think about. The other thing, Mike Montgomery, they acquired him, told him he was going to be a starting pitcher. That's why I think he was re-energized by the whole thing. And he was pretty, like, fine last year. I think he, at times, struggled. But there were other times where he just got hit hard because baseball is baseball, and that's how it goes. So I think if you break them down, are these guys in the 1 through 4 where they would be on a top – like, obviously not in on the Yankees rotation. They wouldn't be really close to their spots. But, I mean, for the Royals, having locked in starters is a good thing. Now, again, the problem is starting pitchers get hurt, and arms that throw baseballs 96 miles an hour are not suited to stay healthy. So the problem is, who do they have behind them? And I think – the hope would be that you see guys beyond a Foster Griffin or Eric Skoglund or guys like Brady Singer, Jackson Coar can be ready by a time at which they might be needed at some point in 2020.
Yeah, I think it's a fair and good point also that, like, an amount of certainty is good to have on a team that has a lot of uncertainty. And maybe, like, we'll talk about the outfield next segment. We'll talk about we'll talk about the rest of the team in all likelihood next segment. But, you know, while I think it frustrates me a little bit to say we're going to bring back Alex Gordon for one more go-round because Alex Gordon is not going to win another playoff game with the Royals. A statement so bold. That's a little frustrating.
Taser bet willing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine, I think.
With the now,
yeah, sure.
Beards is mocking this. Yeah, mark your beards.
With the Royals. Okay. I'm not That wasn't nearly as restrictive as I thought it might be. Yeah, no, Alex Gordon. Yeah, sure. If Alex Gordon wins a playoff game with the Royals, you can tase me. All right.
What did I just witness?
Oh, he's addicted to taser beds. This is like the fifth one.
Yeah, and so far I've come out both unscathed and untased.
Tased
but
yes,
I think
true.
You're the first guest to witness a taser bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what an honor.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I don't know. That did happen very fast. I didn't really think about it too hard.
How most
taser
of these
beds,
go.
What do you mean? That's how it goes.
Hey, Alec, you think I'm safe? You think I'm safe on the Royals not winning a playoff game this year?
I would definitely side with that, but I will say, like, Picado, what in 2015, what they had the Royals at, like 72 or something?
Sure, so, that could happen again.
This is, like, thing, at my age, I try not to be naive with baseball because
I just was.
There's so much in it that I just do not know or cannot predict. Or so, for me to even try to act like I have any knowledge would just be not very intelligent, although you're listening to me on the radio, so hopefully you definitely have
knowledge. You're just not willing to say with the authority of you could put a taser on me if the Royals win a playoff game, which I think that's actually an example of you being continually intelligent and saying that seems like a dumb thing for me to do, so I'm not gonna do it. I just got kind of swept up in the moment, and now you know what, Rudy?
Beards is the biggest Royals fan.
That's a safe bet.
It feels like a safe bet, but also, Rudy, you still have to eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
From last year.
I am.
Rudy had the Royals going over 75 last year.
I thought they were going to be pretty good. A part of it was I thought the Central was going to be really, really
blah,
bad.
Blah, 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 blah. Go, hey, stop talking and go fill your
really
mouth
good.
With a bunch of chicken.
Twins were really good.
They were really good.
They will be better this year. Which
I did not see the Twins coming. Like, I was way off on them.
I'm not going to see these chicken fingers coming either. Just flying at you from across the room. You still haven't eaten yet.
I'm down to do it. We can do that.
Anybody holding you back? I mean, do beards not have to pay for
it? No, I thought we had because then we have to like put this all together, put this on Facebook.
Listen, I don't want to buy like 50 chicken strips to make Rudy eat them, but like if Slims decided that they just wanted to bring us chicken that we can stuff down Rudy's face, then you know what? If there's like some cookies and stuff on the side that they bring for us, I'm okay with that. I'll just eat what's left.
Just bring in your catered package, sides and all.
Yep.
And I'll just.
And Rudy's going to sit there for 3 hours and just eat with his hands. No utensils, please. Alec Lewis of The Athletic is here. You should probably talk to him about baseball. While I worry about getting tased, Rudy worries about dying by cholesterol. We'll worry about the Royals outside of their pitching staff whenever we come back here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have our friend Alec Lewis of The Athletic. He covers the Royals. He is literally leaving for spring training tomorrow, and he'll be in studio with us here for an hour, and that's exciting because I like Alec, and baseball's okay. But I like Alec.
More or less than baseball.
I mean, you know.
On Sports Radio 810. WHB.
That was a quick turnaround. I was like, wait a second. Do we have an Alec intro? Oh, we do now. As of an hour and a half ago. That is Alec Lewis of The Athletic in studio with us. So, how are you going, Alec?
Hey, guys. No Meek Mill still, but whatever.
Yeah, sorry. Beards, do you mind? Beards, you said there was a Facebook comment. You can watch the show on the Sports Radio 10 Facebook page. I'm going to fix my hair while everyone is looking. Hold on. Don't move the camera yet, Beards. I got to frame
you're
up.
Good, you're good.
All right, got it. You said there was a Facebook comment. Had some. I don't know. I don't know what it is. You just said that it's there. You can watch it on the Sports Radio 10 Facebook page.
Corey asked, is Alec a big quarter zip guy?
Huge.
Mm-hmm. You did mention the quarter zip. Hoodie right now, though, hey, I promise this is the first time I've ever seen him not in a sport coat.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it was going to come up. I mean, like at these big press, we've talked about this before. At these big press conferences, my 22-year-old needs to look like I'm not just. I mean, I understand why anyone would be like, who's this young kid? Because that's what I am. So I try to dress rightfully, I guess. But no, hoodie. I've been a quarter zip guy for a long time. I've graduated to the hoodie realm.
That's good. So you're welcome here. Yeah. You seem like you. I don't know what this means. You seem like a quarter zip guy.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Nothing wrong with a quarter zip.
From Alabama, so that could be like, it's a very, I don't know what that has anything to do with it, but I think.
It's kind of a Southern thing.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I went to school in Kentucky, a lot of quarter zips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got a handful of jokes. I'm probably going to leave there and ask Alec about the Royals. We were talking during the break, as we teased it last segment. Very important. Got to get that time spent listening. Keep that TSL up. We were talking about the outfield, and we talked about some during the break, just about the crop of guys that the Royals have there. And they bring back Alex Gordon, and it bums me out a little bit because last year, even at this point, and certainly over the course of the season, there were so many conversations of like, oh, man, well, maybe it's this guy, that guy, or the other guy. Look at how many outfielders there are here that we can have these interesting discussions about. And, Jorge Bonifacio got called back up. Maybe he – oh, that was just for like 45 minutes. Okay, back down. I genuinely believed that there would be at least enough guys in that mix, and you can decide where you put Whit Merrifield and Hunter Dozier because they're flexible. Mm-hmm. I really wanted, and also Soler being, as you have in your roster predictions up on The Athletic right now, you have him being a DH, you know, protecting his health. He needs to be hitting. He needs to be playing. Not great in the outfield, all that, whatever. I really felt like there was going to be sort of a talent logjam in the outfield in a way that would almost force the Royals' hand to be like, hey, Alex Gordon, an incredible story and an all-time great Royal, but we really want to make sure we get these everyday at-bats for... And that blank never got filled in. And so I have nothing against Alex Gordon, and frankly, even in the way that this roster's coming together, I get it. But that's where I'm at right now. How do you look at the situation from maybe this point last year up to where we are now and then looking ahead through 2020?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like this time of year and in March and April and even May, like you fans obviously are optimistic about the guys that could come up and help. And at this time last year and as the months passed, Bubba Starling ended up being that guy because he had averaged, I don't know what his OBP was off the top of my head, that'd be impressive, but he had averaged plus 300, and he had performed really well at AAA Omaha. So, and obviously he's the hometown guy, and obviously former first-round pick, and obviously it was going to happen at some point probably, and so the optimism was like, let's bring him up, and maybe he could fill. At the time, Billy Hamilton was really struggling at the plate, so... Yeah. It made sense at that time.
Right before he turned it on and just started crushing it.
But then, like, and Brett Phillips became that as the season went on. So both those guys came up and filled in. And in the outfield, both were fantastic at their peak. I think early on, Bubba had a couple of hiccups with Alex Gordon and calling balls. But both Bubba Starling and Brett Phillips, like, threw out guys at home plate in plays that you, like, really don't see that often in baseball in this day and age. And so I think... as you went in the offseason, it made sense to think, like, okay, we'll give these guys some more opportunities to try to work their way through it at the plate because each of them struggled at the plate in the bigs. They just did. There was no other way around it. I think as the Royals brass, the front office, looked at things as through the course of the offseason, they realized, how can we win more games? Well, we need a better lineup. It's not that bold, and I think they realized – we have a guy in Whit Merrifield who played in the outfield a lot last year. He also played center field at South Carolina in his days there. So if we have him play center field, that might can work in our eyes. And obviously he's in the lineup every day. If we move Hunter Dozier to right field, then we could sign a third baseman that could provide a bat that we at that point in December did not have. So the line of thinking really made sense in terms of if you want a better lineup, you need to make these moves. Now, the question obviously is, can Hunter Dozier play right field?
Right
field at Kauffman Stadium is not easy. The benefit that they have is he did play shortstop in college. He is very versatile. Rusty Kuntz is back at first base coach, meaning he has time to work in the outfield with these guys during spring training. I mean, look, you mentioned what am I excited to see. I guarantee you, in the next week, 2 weeks, one of the first sights I see on the baseball field is Rusty Kuntz screaming and hollering, working with Hunter Dozier. I mean, I just think that's going to happen because I think that's what he did with Alex Gordon, and it worked out. And so I think if you're looking at how do we lengthen this lineup, that was the way to do it. Now the question is, what happens with Bubba Starling and Brett Phillips? Obviously, Kansas City Royals fans who are from this area or not even not from this area, who have ties, they want to see Bubba Starling play. And now look, I think at times, being that Alex Gordon is 36, he'll get a little bit of more rest than he did last year. And so that will be a spot for Bubba or Brett Phillips to fill in. I think baseball players get hurt, and so you're going to need guys. Say Adalberto Mondesi is not ready for opening day. Nicky Lopez plays shortstop, and Whit Merrifield moves to second, and then you need an outfielder. So I think there are multiple ways in which each of these guys gain opportunities. And I think, look, like you can argue the Alex Gordon signing, but you're getting a guy who at least has proven a ton more at the plate than Brett Phillips and Bubba Starling. And if you want to catch lightning in a bottle at the beginning of the year, you'd rather have a guy like him than Bubba Starling and Brett Phillips at the plate. It's just as simple as that.
I think it's fair to say you would prefer that there was somebody, like we kind of talked about this break, that there was somebody there who he was blocking, but the reality is there just isn't. And obviously that's not Alex Gordon. That's not, and not entirely on the road. Clearly is in theory supposed to be ready for this team now. He just didn't do it last year. Kyle Isbell might be knocking on the door. He gets hurt. That delays his time. So, I mean, there are guys in theory there. But, like, that's not Alex Gordon's fault. And, I remember when they first – there was first talks with him signing. My initial thought was why. And then I started thinking, well, who is he stealing that bats from? I mean, unless you're just a really big Brett Phillips guy or Bubba Starling guy, sure, but that's it.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Khalil Lee and Kyle Isbell, and I'll throw Nick Heath in here because he's a 26-year-old. I mean, he stole 60 bases last year.
Extremely fast.
That doesn't include what he stole in the offseason in Dominican. So, I mean, he's a guy who probably has a chance to compete for this roster, maybe even out of camp. I don't know that, but I think there's a chance with his speed. But again, his bat is a question. I mean, he had a – I think 770 or so OPS at AAA Omaha last year. So he's not going to blow you away at the plate. Khalil Lee is a guy who worked out in October with the new Royals hitting development staffers and really kind of showed something. I mean, I remember they did a little camp training game thing, and he was like one of the team captains of the game. Ended up hitting like a skyrocket home run to win the game. They stormed the field. It was really cool, and he was really happy when I talked to him about his opportunity in the winter league in Puerto Rico. Of course, he goes down there, and I think game three he breaks his hand. So that you can't, if you're not healthy, you can't develop. And he'll be competing in major league spring training, as will Kyle Isbell, who you mentioned the injuries last year. All of them were kind of freak injuries. I talked to him about it. He kind of laughed. He's like, it was like the total perfect storm. But
he was off to a great start last year.
He was. Yeah. And in the fall league last year, he raked in the fall league. And the Royals are really excited with this progression. So I think those guys are coming, guys who could take the outfield spots going forward, but they're just not there yet. I mean, Khalil Lee hadn't passed AA, and Kyle Isbell beyond the fall league hadn't passed High Wilmington. Yeah. So you're just not going to rush it with these guys.
This might be a little bit like too specific just for a good conversation, but I want to make sure you talk about Merrifield, you know, playing some center, noting that last year he played 17 games, which like feels low, but every Whit Merrifield's entire existence is bizarre and not in a bad way. It's just so weird. Because I think confidence in being able to do whatever is deserved. But are the Royals confident with him being able to play center field on a daily basis? And then, whenever you talk about Gordon getting some days off, is it kick Whit to left and then let Starling or Phillips step in the center? You mentioned in the roster projection, Whit maybe having to come into the infield if any of those injuries pan out. Is the short way to ask a long question might be, is Whit Merrifield going to continue to be the guy that fills a void anywhere one shows up and then do that from starting in center field? Or is there going to be a priority of consistency for him?
I think at the start, I mean, you hope for priority. I mean, I think the Royals hope for priority to have him in center field and get acclimated to that position and work to dominate at that position. The problem is, I mean, you're just not that deep with guys who can lengthen a lineup but also play certain positions. So, like, if you have an injury in the infield and Whit is more reliable, especially at the plate, then a guy such as Matt Reynolds, who will be competing in spring training, or an Eric Mejia, who will be competing in spring training, then you might side with Witt and just let it play out. As far as who moves over where, if Alex Gordon gets a day off, I mean, I think it could go both ways. Brett Phillips played in left field and center field last year a bit. Bubba Starling played in center with majority. But if you play center, you can pretty much adjust. So I think they both have really, really, really good arms and are both good at adjusting to ball flight in the air. So I think you could work at it each way. I mean, the craziest, you mentioned Whit Merrifield, and it's like his existence is interesting and bizarre, but it is commendable in terms of here's a guy who I try to tell people, but it's like all professional athletes are really, really competitive. Obviously, that's partly what makes them great. But there are certain guys where that level creeps up. It's just noticeable, and Witt's one of those guys. Like, you just tell he strikes out, he's swinging. Like, he is not happy if he struggles. And so his willingness to play anywhere is commendable, because I don't know if every guy would be like, you know what, this is what's good for the like, if you're comfortable at second base, you're probably like, what the heck?
Like, right. I'd like to be good at this, please.
Right. Like, how am I supposed to get good if you're shuffling me around? But he does it because he wants to win so dang badly. And that's commendable. And I like, obviously, baseball teams have to win baseball games. So it's not like, oh, yeah, Witt, he's commit. But like, I mean, this guy has done every single thing he possibly can to win baseball games for the Royals. And I think you just have to look at that and at least respect that at the very least. I mean, here's a guy who hasn't really played much center field since college. And he's like, you know what? If this is going to help us win baseball games, I'm going to do it.
You know, it's kind of like his comments about Altuve in terms of his competitiveness. Like, even in that, it's like, hey, that should be me.
What are you accusing him of? What are you accusing Whit Merrifield of, comparing him to Jose Altuve?
I'm not accusing Whit Merrifield.
He did. Did you hear the interview that Whit did a little while back?
That's like, that shows
you're right. It's good. You just said Jose Altuve, and I immediately wanted to try to get you in trouble for starting a scandal.
No, but he works that hard to where, like, that comment. It was like the least surprising, because like
I was surprised because no one ever says anything like that in sports. And
Whit is incredibly honest. Yeah. I think like one of the things he said at FanFest was he's like, and this was. I mean, I'm going to bring this up because it was like a couple of days before the Kobe Bryant thing happened. And Whit was just talking candidly. He's like, we always talk about the Royals rebuild in 2022 and 23, but like tomorrow isn't promised for any of us. So if we talk like that, then what are we doing here? And again, that's a very player wanting to win now, obviously.
Sure.
He's getting older in his career type comment to make, but Whit's pretty candid. Like, he plays every day, 162 games on a baseball field and not complaining about it. And that's, I mean, I know he gets paid a lot, but it's a thing.
It's stuff that you could, you can get paid a lot and not be thrilled about doing it every day. That seems, it's a lot of games. Baseball's a lot of games.
Yep.
Of course, Alec also makes almost as much money. So his enthusiasm clearly all completely fake.
So much I didn't even come in with a Gatorade.
You couldn't even afford the Gatorade.
Nope. Well, I can't expense it yet until I'm in Arizona. So why would I?
It's Gatorade sommelier and Royals expert athletic writer Alec Lewis with us here on 8:10. There are like 47 things we haven't talked about yet, so we're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna get through all 47 things in like 2 minutes. So buckle up.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The attempted illusion that the Royals would create that, oh, this is a team that can contend. Hey, we're raised royal and forever royal and taking the crown. This year's just going to be like, don't strain your butt.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Alec Lewis of The Athletic is still with us. I want to call you Alec Athletic or Athletic Lewis every time, but I haven't yet. Athletic Lewis is pretty
good. That sounds good.
You sound even more like a baseball writer at that point.
Yeah, and then you see me do anything athletic, and then you're...
But that's okay. It's just a name.
Good point. No, I'm actually probably more athletic than people would think.
Oh, whoa. Hold on. Ooh. All right, go ahead. Flex on the camera.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
have you ever been hit by a car while... competing athletically.
That's Beards' move.
No.
What's
you're more athletic than Beards.
What's your greatest athletic achievement?
I think I shot like an 81 on a golf course, on a pretty nice, pretty good golf course.
It seems pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not a big golfer, but 81 feels pretty good.
Yeah, for somebody who's not, like, I mean, for somebody who's just, like, not on the PGA Tour, that's amazing. Like,
I don't know if it's amazing.
That's pretty amazing.
I also, listen, I would say that being good at golf, very skillful. Athletic?
Not.
Basketball,
maybe.
Then?
What's your best basketball story?
No, I mean, I hit a game winner at Mizzou. Ooh. in rec playoffs.
League playoff?
Yeah, that's a big
buzzer
deal.
Beater.
Yeah.
That counts.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was, yeah.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I approve of that flex.
Okay.
There are so many things that we haven't talked about yet that I thought we would talk about by now. Some of them I've legitimately, like, here's one. Cobwebby in the dictionary. Wow. I looked it up. Merriam-Webster has cobwebby in the dictionary. So that's one for Danny Duffy, and that's a L for the professional writer who doubted him. Hope you feel bad. Of the entire infield of the Royals, there's interesting stuff in there, but I really want to talk to you at least a little bit about all the guys that I think are ultimately going to start ruling the conversation around the Royals in, 2 months into the season, which is all of the pitchers that aren't here yet. You had an article come out just a few days ago about Brady Singer, and you've talked about the competitiveness on a couple of guys so far, and every time I've resisted the urge to be like, by the way, because I just wanted to give it some time on its own. But this is the other thing where I don't know what secrets you have, Alec, but every other story, I was like, this is strange. Alec is writing this from the perspective of someone who is watching this family from the rafters of their house. Have you seen the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
Okay, it's very good. Everyone should watch it. that analogy would work better if you had seen it. It seems like you're seeing and hearing things and having conversations. I was like, how did Alec get there? I don't actually think you're propped up in the corner of the ceiling or whatever, peering down like Spider-Man. But if I did just blow your secret identity, I'm really sorry. But the Brady Singer article does this. You've had several articles that have done this. That's just been kind of that's felt very inside the head of your subjects and the people around them. It's a compliment. Don't worry. It's a long way to a compliment.
No, I appreciate it. That's part of my. That's what I like to do.
And you do a very good job of it. And it came through on this particular piece. So in a way that will allow people to go get the rest of the story on The Athletic. Can you paint the picture of this story about Brady Singer and why it was a story that you wanted to tell?
Yeah, so Brady Singer is a former first-round pick from 2018. The Royals did not think he would fall to the 18th pick in the draft. He was supposed to be a top-five pick, mm-hmm. really. Fell in the draft. He pitched at Florida, was the pitcher of the year. He led them to a College World Series in 2017. So he's a stud pitcher, this guy. He's a right-hander. Fastball slider combo has always been his thing. This offseason has been his biggest offseason. Why do I want to tell the story? I think because he's got a chance to fight for a fifth starter spot to start this season. And I think as Royals fans, as they do, obviously you want to see success. I think he's part of what could be the next wave of that. So I think I want to tell the story. And in telling it, you talk to anyone about this guy and you watch him pitch. The quality that I mentioned about Whit Merrifield in terms of competitiveness, it could become a cliche as we talk about it like this, but he's a guy who, I think I asked Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan, what's he like? And he's like, I can't really describe it to you, but it's championship. That's the only thing he knew how to say. And if you watch him pitch, you can see him fist bump. And at times he's yelled at dugouts and opposing dugouts.
In the rain.
Yeah, he yelled at there's a rain. Yeah, so he's a fiery guy who really it shined through. I mean, in terms of the details of him waking up and going through his workout, I thought it was interesting. What is a guy who's that at that level preparing for this type of season going to do in the morning and during a day? And he told me, he's like, literally the worst part of my day is when I'm sitting at home waiting for the next day, which is
it's just chilling. Yeah, a chilling thought of just sitting in a chair, just staring at the
Netflix.
Darkness. No, not even. Staring at a black television screen.
He watches MLB Network. That's his.
That feels right. Yeah.
Also chilling.
This is who this guy is. This is who this guy is. And so that to me was kind of fascinating. It's and I think it's. I've learned through the reporting of this story, and I think you can see it, some of the stuff that's happened rightful or not, like, he's been doubted in a way that's like, we can't really find anything, so let's doubt him here.
Right.
And so, but it's like still fueled him. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, that's the story. That's what the story is about. But you mentioned it, like, these pitchers, these 2018 MLB draft pitchers, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And you can mention Brady Singer is easy. Jackson Coar was his teammate at Florida who also pitched at AA last year. Daniel Lynch is a lefty who throws 99 miles per hour. Chris Bubich is a lefty who doesn't throw that fast but has the best changeup in the farm system. And then there's more. So, like, it's – I was reading a book the other day, kind of studying up about the Red Sox and how they built what they built to win a World Series. And, like, they drafted a guy like Mookie Betts in the fifth round. I don't want to get into that conversation. But they had a draft where they had a lot of extra picks, mm-hmm. and they made that work for them. And so – the Royals' next wave, if you're trying to be optimistic, it's you got to look at that and be optimistic about those pitchers.
So of those big four, I'm not asking you who's best or whatever, but what is the order that they come up to the majors? I'm holding you to this. I'm writing this down.
If I had to guess,
that's what I'm asking. You do have to guess.
I would say Brady Singer is first.
Singer, one.
I would say mm-hmm. Coar is second.
Two.
I would say Daniel Lynch is third, and I would say Chris Bubich is fourth. And I think – I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with that list, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Jackson Coar is a guy who has shown – I mean, he's touched 98, and that was never – I talked to the scout, Steve Buckley, who's now with the Giants, who's scouting him. He's like, we knew he had projection left to him, but he's really shown us something. Daniel Lynch – had a little injury hiccup last year. It was kind of mm-hmm. odd the way that thing worked, but he went to Arizona rehab, and then the fall league, I mean, it was – you couldn't touch that guy. And there you have, like, Joe Adell, the best prospects in that league, and he was arguably the best pitcher in the league.
All right, we're over time at a point where I've had to give Beards telepathic messages to not worry about hitting SportsCenter, which I know is a huge relief to Beards because we know how hard that is for him. So congratulations, Beards. Are you about to pot up ESPN just to be a –
he was even early on that.
He even was. I thought he was going to do a bit. And then he blew out our headphones, didn't commit to it, and also was late. But we're skipping past SportsCenter because I wanted to continue talking to Alec Lewis of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Alec_Lewis. And the link in his Twitter bio is a link to his entire author page on The Athletic that has a bunch of articles with another one coming out tomorrow, a guide to spring training that'll come out while Alec is on his way to surprise Alec, thank you first for spending this frozen night here with us before you go enjoy whatever's happening in Arizona.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. It's always fun. I got to witness a taser bet.
Yeah, that's a high honor.
Yeah.
And that was not expected walking in here. But, no, I appreciate you guys having me. It's fun. Should be interesting to see what happens in spring training. Feels like it's purposeful that the football season that was as crazy and as gut-wrenching as it was, now it's like the Royals baseball season. You kind of relax and just let it play out.
You're right.
So seems kind of fitting.
We can just decompress. There's still more sports. We can decompress, work our way into baseball.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in March, we'll get basketballs just thrown at us for like a month.
Good point.
And then we'll relax back into some more baseball again. I think this is going to be good for the overall mental and physical health of Kansas City.
Yes.
And you're contributing to it, Alec.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you guys for having me.
By putting cameras in the living room of Brady Singer's family. Would you like to formally deny that before we go to break?
No, 100% will deny that. This is a you ask questions about guys.
You're stuttering. You seem nervous.
I'm trying to think if I should shout out the Missouri J School or not. So I guess I just did that.
I think
but
you did.
Yeah, you report for scenes. That's what we do. So no, I that's a compliment.
You're very good at it, even if your methods are potentially immoral.
Unbelievable.
Alec Lewis. Excellent? Yes. Immoral? Maybe. That's it. That's the hour.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.